So we are concluding the Panchamayam Sadhana, which is chanting the holy name on the level of asakti, or full attachment to Krishna, chanting Krishna's name at the level of asakti. And this type of bhajan, which is, of course, there's anartha nivritti, then nishta, then ruchi, then asakti, bhava and prema. So this level of bhajan is parallel. It reflects the moods of the verse from Shikshastakam, Ayi nanda tanda chikintkaram patita bhama shame bhavam vado kripyata vaparabhankaja stita duli satrisham vachintiya. Oh nanda nandan, I am helplessly fallen in an ocean of misery, suffering from this material existence. Please pick me up from this ocean of suffering and keep me fixed as an atom of dust in your lotus feet, as a kinkar. Ayananda Tanaja Kinkara, as a servant. So this, of course, is the discussion in this chapter. All the verses have been giving elaboration on this concept of how to become increasingly attached to Krishna's service, especially in the mood of a kinkar, but which means a servant, but drawing the angle of service to the service of Srimati Radharani in what is known as Radhadasyam. So Bhakti Sriyam, the beauty of her own bhakti, which is what Lord Chaitanya came to give in this Kali Yuga, came to give the beauty of Radharani's bhakti, which means Swa Bhakti Sriyam, which is the Adi Leela, verse number 4 from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Swa Bhakti Sriyam means the beauty of her own service. So her own service means the service of Radharani, which is Radhadasyam. And Radharani is best and most pleasingly served by a group of sakis called pran sakis or nitya sakis, which are often commonly called kinkaris, palyadasis or kinkaris or manjaris. So we heard about most of the verses of this chapter, Panchamayam Sadhana. We're discussing this principle of serving Radharani, the intensity of serving Radharani, the hankering and desiring to serve Radharani, and an outline and description of some few services to Radharani for her pleasure. And then the conclusion of yesterday's purport was, he who chants Harinam while contemplating these pastimes, by Radharani's grace he'll become eligible to one day serve these pastimes. There's a very unique contribution Bhaktivinoda Thakur has made by saying that this Mahamantra, which has 8 pairs of names, Hare Krishna, that's 1, Hare Krishna 2, Krishna Krishna 3, Hari Hari 4, Hari Ram 5, Hari Ram 6, Ram Ram 7, Hari Hari 8. So in this, what is called fifth pair, Hari Ram, this pair is analogous to Panchamayam Sadhana. Panchamayam, there's Ashtayam. Ashtayam, 8 yamas, 8 intervals of time in the 24-hour day. The 24-hour day of Radha and Krishna is divided into 8 parts, known as Ashtayama, Ashtayama Lila, or sometimes called Ashtakaliya Lila. So the Panchamayama, the fifth interval of pastimes, it has a name, it's called Aparan, Aparan Lila, which unfolds every day in the holy dham of Goloka Vrindavan from 3:36 in the afternoon until 6 p.m. It is generically called Uttara Goshta Lila, Uttara Goshta Lila. When Krishna returns, primarily Krishna is returning from cowherding with Balaram, Sridham, Subal, and of course all the cows, returning to his home in Nandagram. And of course in doing that, he has to pass through Barsana or Yavatgram, both of which are Radharani's homes. Her in-law's house at Yavatgram and her mother's house at Barsana. And of course, while he's passing on the road, this affords Krishna an opportunity to glance at Radharani or to see her loving face and sometimes occasionally experience her intimate embrace in a brief meeting in the kunja by the side of the path. That's a very, very wonderful time of meeting. So this Aparan Leela was very nice. Leela. And of course, what he's saying is this pair of names, Hari Ram, is the fifth. It's the fifth in the sequence of eight pairs of names, and it's number five, and it also represents the fifth. This fifth interval of pastimes. It's called the Aparan Lila. So when a devotee who is at the level of Bhava, it's called Ajata Rati Sadaka. A devotee is at the level of a Sakti, attachment to Krishna. And then, at the level of Bhava, Rati means, in this case, Bhava. Bhava and Rati are synonymous. When he's at the level of Bhava, which is at the higher end of a Sakti, then going to Bhava, then when he chants Hari Ram, in this fifth pair of the holy names, he actually sees compressed or compacted in that fifth holy name, Hari Ram, this lila is there. Each of the eight lilas is in each of the eight pairs of names. When we say Hare Krishna, this is Nishant Lila. 3:36 in the morning until 6 a.m. It's called Nikunja Bhanga Lila. This is when Radha and Krishna give up their pastimes in Nikunja, which they spend in a very intimate forest bower, confidential association during the night after Rasa dance and Banbihar and Madhupan and Jalkeli and Bhojan Lila. And so many wonderful pastimes in the night from 10:48 until 3:36. So then from 3:36, that's called Rachi Lila or Nisha Lila. And then from 3:36 a.m. in the morning until 6 a.m. is called Nisha Ant, the end of Nisha, the end of night or dawn. It's the end of night. So this is also called Nikunja Bhanga. So this lila, this whole lila is there in Hare Krishna. When we say Hare Krishna, sometimes we fall asleep. Hare Krishna. But when someone on the level of Bhava, when he chants Hare Krishna, then he sees this pastime. It's in this pair of names. So when we get to the fifth pair of names, Hare Ram, then we're in the afternoon. We're in the afternoon lilas. We're in this Aparan Lila. So for us, of course, we're not seeing that when we chant Hari Ram, unless we're on the level of Bhava. When we chant Hari Ram, we don't see Aparan Lila. Maybe see stars. You ever see stars? When you fall asleep, you see stars sometimes. Hari Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Ram. So this is Aparan Lila, so I thought that we could read a little bit just about Aparan Lila, which will be within our mind and heart someday when we chant this fifth holy name, this Panchamayam Sarana, to live a Rati, then we'll see these pastimes and have an opportunity to serve in these pastimes. So there's a rather brief description here. So this is the late afternoon pastimes. The coward boys feel unlimited happiness upon Krishna's return. To render different services, a few expert servants among the boys immediately surround the Lord, whose dark blue complexion is more lustrous than a fresh rain cloud. Overflowing with friendly love, Krishna greets all his friends. At this time, Krishna's transcendental body radiates a captivating effulgence that conquers the beauty of millions of cupids. The 6 hours the boys spent playing with Krishna seemed to pass in a few seconds, but the time of their separation felt like a millennium. Because when Krishna went to Radhakund, he left the boys at Govardhan. He spent 6 hours there in Radhakund, here, with the gopis. When Krishna's away from the gopis or the gopas, they feel one moment to be like forever. And when they're with Krishna, when the gopis are dancing in a rasa dance, and he extends the rasa dance for millions of years. He makes the night so long, but the gopis feel, it's been a very long night. You made it a very long night, but it feels the night went by in 1 second. When we're with you, enjoying so much happiness and pleasure, the time goes. Time flies. It goes so fast that even if you extend that time to be a whole day of Brahma, it feels like it's going by in 1 second. But when we're away from you, the coward boys also feel the same way, but not the same intensity. When we're away from you, we feel like 1 second away from you feels like a million years. Yugayutam nimeshena. Animation, a moment seems like a million years. So this is the phenomenon of this intense Braja Prem. You'll never find such descriptions in above Vaikuntha. But the time of their separation felt like a millennium. This ecstatic feeling is one of the emotional ornaments of the Sukkot's friendships with Krishna. As the boys come together from all directions, they give up their worries and inquire from Krishna, "Hey Sukka, where have you been for such a long time? Tell us why you have avoided playing with us." Hearing these affectionate words and seeing his dear cowherd friend standing there, Krishna replies to their question. It appears as if bees, intoxicated by the honey fragrance of Krishna's lips, which exude the nectar of his smile, are kissing the flowers of his words. Kissing the flowers of his words. That's quite nice. Really nice phrase. Because the whole analogy here is the bees. Okay, bees are there and bees like honey. Okay, everyone knows that. It appears as if bees, intoxicated by the honey fragrance of Krishna's lips, just his lips, there's the fragrance of honey from his lips, which exude the nectar of his smile. So his lips, passing by Krishna's lips, are the nectar of his smile. So those bees are intoxicated, and then they're kissing the flowers of his words. Krishna replies, "See, my friends, I went to the Yamuna to get relief from the summer heat. I was accompanied by a few young boys with beautiful bodies who were skillful at service. Because it would have taken too long for everyone to bathe there, I did not take you. I see all the cows are happily munching the grass here. Now it is time to give up our playing in the forest, however, and return to Braj. So call all the cows back to the goshalas with the sounds of your flutes and horns." So the boys, the gopas also play flutes, not only Krishna. But Krishna, the effect of Krishna's flute playing is slightly different than theirs. So now it's called Uttara Goshta Lila, they're bringing the cows back. Headed by Balaram, the young cowherds, who are saturated with sincere and friendly affection for one another, sound their flutes, horns, and panpipes while slowly walking to Braj. They call the cows, "Hee hee! Shavali, Pishangi, Kali, Nila, Harini, Vilohini, Dumala, Sushila. Come here, come, come. We're going home now, so don't wander off in the forest." Upon hearing the flute sounds which blow away the dust of the Brajagopis mounting Maan. So the gopis are feeling some unhappiness and a little bit of anger in Krishna's separation. And when you hear the flute sound, then it starts to blow away. The cows stop wandering and start mooing as they approach the gopas. The attractive cows move slowly due to their heavy udders, which are fatter and firmer than the forehead of a rutting elephant. Mother Earth feels great bliss from the touch of the hooves of the cows, even though they are forcibly striking her surface. The cows making their ways back to Braj have filled their bellies with lots of fresh green grass. Their bodies are robust and healthy, and their udders resemble full water pots. The two young boys, Krishna and Balaram, and their circle of friends journey from the forest back to their houses. Looking like two young elephants, one shining blue and the other white, they spontaneously attract the three worlds. The black bees, mistaking them to be lotus flowers, fall upon the lotus feet of Krishna, the destroyer of all suffering. It seems that the goddess of the fortune, Van Lakshmi, is crying tears mixed with her cudgel. In a fever of separation from Krishna, the birds beat their bodies with the hands of their wings and chirp loudly to express their pain as if weeping. So, as Krishna is leaving the forest of Braj, the gopis are getting excited to hear the sound of his flute. "Oh, he's coming back soon. Our pain of separation will be alleviated." So some are feeling joy and some are feeling sadness. So the forest animals and creatures are feeling very sad. "Oh, our Krishna is leaving. Oh, what can we do?" So the birds are flapping their wings, and Kavi Karnapur sees that actually they're beating their bodies. Oh, he's leaving. Oh, he's leaving the forest. And they're chirping loudly, woo, 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 as if expressing, their chirping is equivalent to their crying. It's as if someone's crying, oh, you're leaving, oh, don't go. And they're beating their bodies. So they're beating their bodies with the wings, the arms of their wings, and they're chirping loudly, as if weeping. Now the does, it means the deer, their bodies afflicted in separation from their beloved, stare in the direction of Krishna as if they have no eyelids. Usually eyelids are coming, blinking over the eye every so many times a second or whatever. So they're just like, locked in a gaze at Krishna. Stunned, the deer stand in one place, praying for the treasure of another glance from Krishna. A nice image. The deer are stunned. They're not moving. They're just praying. Oh, please, Krishna, please glance at us. Please look at us one more time with your affectionate, loving glance. Seeing the peacocks dragging their long tails on the ground as they walk behind Krishna, it seems that the goddess of Van Lakshmi's hair, the goddess of the forest, has loosened in lamentation and lies scattered on the earth. In the Vedic society, if a woman always has her hair in a bani, in a braid, behind her head, so she's in lamentation, or she's a widow, she won't tie her bani. It's just all spread out, because it means she's very angry, or very upset, or very heartbroken due to loss of husband, or some lamenting over some great emotional upheaval in her life. So the scattered hair of the goddess of the personified goddess of the forest is appearing as the long tail of the male peacock, which usually it's kind of stuck in the air, but sticking out behind the peacock. But now it's just dragging on the ground. The peacocks are walking very sadly. Oh, Krishna's leaving. There's no more reason to live. There's no more reason to dance. I was only dancing to please Krishna when he would play his flute and I would dance and he would also dance. And I offered him my peacock feather and he put on his turban out of appreciation. Now he's leaving us. So why live? And then I have no reason to hold my... I'm not proud anymore. I'm proud when I have an opportunity to serve Krishna. I'm proud when I can dance for Krishna. I'm known as a proud bird. But now my Krishna is leaving, so I can't even hold my tail feathers off the ground. Boom! They just droop on the ground. I'm just walking along, dragging my tail feathers behind me. So this is... Kavi Karnapur is seeing that these tail feathers represent the scattered hair of the goddess of the forest. Egrets and other water birds fly erratically here and there searching for Krishna. With tears in their eyes and pitiful choked up voices, they try to serve Krishna in every lake. The sight of Krishna and Balaram herding the Suravi cows from front to back on the way to Braj defeats the splendor of two captains, one black and one silver, steering a gleaming white ship. Sometimes the cows move quickly, drawn by affection for their calves. At other times they just amble along due to the fatigue of carrying their udders, heavy udders, and the weight of their unlimited attraction to Krishna, who leads them home. Mother Earth, in her eagerness to broadcast the glories of Krishna's lotus feet, scatters piles of dust all around after the cow's hooves strike her surface. It appears as if she's turning her whole body into dust just to touch the body of Krishna and the cows. Where else can an intelligent person obtain such happiness and full satisfaction? The pure, colorful dust of Braj, kicked up by the cow's hooves and sprinkled on Krishna's curly locks by the gentle breeze, looks like the pollen on the body of bees. Krishna's beautiful black hair hangs down beneath his white turban, which is decorated with leaves and flowers and dust from the cow's hooves. The Vaijayanti garland on Krishna's chest, now glorified with the foot dust of the cows, seems to smile with the beauty of its flowers and spread its attractive pollen in all directions. Though covered by dust, Krishna's famous pure Kostuba jewel shines even more brightly. It appears that Kostuba is attempting to increase the purity of its fresh inimitable luster. Every day, without the knowledge of the Brajvasis, an assembly of devatas, headed by Brahma and Shiva, descend on earth to eulogize Krishna as he returns from the forest with the herds of cows. Krishna rejoices at the darshan of the devatas and lingers for a moment to bless them. But for the anxious gopis, that moment appears to be a millennium. They're thinking, come on, all right already, hurry up. What is he waiting for? Come on, come on. Hey, demigods, get out of the way. Get Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Surya, out. What are you doing? You're wasting his time. Let him come to Varsana. He's coming. Now that, Alita, Vishaka, look, see these demigods. They're holding him up. This useless, who's this four-headed guy, Chaturmukh? Chaturmukh Brahma, this other guy with Asher, Shiva. What are they trying to do? He's on his way, we're going to see him, and now they stop to offer these prayers, and Krishna's leaning on his lagudi, leaning on his stick. Hurry. Wherever Krishna casts his merciful glance, that place becomes showered in love. And all the desire creepers suddenly burst into bloom. As Krishna slowly advances along the road to Braj, it seems that the goddess of beauty of the pink lotuses is worshipping his feet. The earth bathes in the effulgence of Madhava's dazzling toenails. In order to intoxicate all moving and non-moving living entities, the ocean of auspicious qualities known as Shamasundar plays his elegant flute with an air of pride as he approaches Braj with his unpretentious cowherd boyfriend. The gopis first see the dust raised by the cows in the distance. Then they hear Krishna's flute. First the dust. So first we have to become familiar with the dust. We have to make friends with the Brajaraj. Sita Duli Satri Chavi Chintya. We have to roll in the dust, worship the dust, carry the dust on our head, pray to the dust, remember the dust. Dust thou art, and dust thou shall become. This is a Bible. So this is what's happening here. First the gopis, they saw the dust raised by Krishna's cows. Then they heard his flute and the commotion caused by the herds of moving cows. Upon hearing the cows mooing, the gopis stream out of their houses to stand beside the road. The love-struck gopis reel in bliss upon seeing the effulgent moon of their beloved's face. It seems that their eyes are breaking a fast with the tasty sight of Krishna. That's a nice thing. Their eyes are fasting. Oh, I'm so hungry. I haven't seen Krishna for so many hours. I'm fasting. I can't see him. Ah, it's a breakfast. I can see Krishna. Although Krishna is an unlimited ocean of amazing qualities, he is completely controlled by love. So, when he glances at each gopi feels that tonight Krishna will come only to her house. Good luck. When Krishna looks at that gopi, and then the gopi looks at Krishna, oh, yes, surely I have captured him. I have captured him through the net of my eyes and bound him in my heart. He will definitely come to my house tonight. He won't go to any other gopi's house, I'm sure. I've thoroughly tied him. The eyes of other love-thrilled gopis who are standing on the jeweled rooftops of their homes soar like bees to land on the beautiful lotus face of their lover. Fixed on Krishna's lotus face, the glances of the lotus-eyed gopis look like a shower of blue lotus petals piling one upon another. And all their blue eyes are looking at Krishna. One petal, another petal, another petal, another petal, another. They're piling up on top of each other. All these lotus eyes looking at Krishna. Blue lotus eyes. The astonishing sweetness arising from the happiness of Shyam's face being struck by the gopis' glances is only perceived by the gopis and Cupid. So Krishna's face, this is a feature of Anurag, the intense renewable attraction of the gopis for Krishna, ever new attraction. It grows by moment to moment. when they see Krishna. They see Krishna like no one else can see Krishna. It's the same Krishna. Yashoda sees that Krishna, Sri Ram, Subha, Ambika, Kalimba, Sri Ram, Sudam, and Raktak, Patrak, the cows. Everyone sees Krishna, but we see according to our bhav. The greater the bhav, the greater the perception. So the gopis' love is the greatest. So when they see Krishna, their sight is the deepest and the most relishable. So only that sweetness that the gopis are seeing, only Cupid can see that, the god of love, and the gopis themselves. Though the gopis be like glances, resemble irresistible subtle arrows, the arrow of Krishna's counter glance breaks their arrows in midair. But still, the tips of the gopis' arrows manage to pierce Krishna's chest. This exchange of love-laden glances increases the sweetness of their mutual attraction. Fearing their elders, however, the gopis only glance briefly at Krishna. But their ecstatic love does not diminish in the least. Young children and their elders happily greet Krishna as he blissfully enters Braj. Krishna reciprocates by looking lovingly upon each child, offering respect to every elder and showing regard to each of the nursemaids, who have more affection for Krishna than their own children. Krishna's sweet, gentle smile attracts everyone in the village of Braj. Her heart brimming with motherly love, Yashoda stands in the courtyard, eagerly staring down the road leading to Krishna. It's a very nice sentence. Her heart brimming with motherly love, Yashoda stands in the courtyard of Nanda Bhavan, eagerly staring down the road leading to Krishna. Where is that road leading to Krishna? And where are we standing? And how eager are we? And how much love is brimming in our heart? After bringing the cows into the Goshala, the most beautiful Shyamasundara Balaram and their servants respectfully meet Mother Yashoda. Due to intense motherly affection, breast milk spontaneously streams out to soak Yashoda's sari as she embraces Krishna and Balaram with the creepers of her loving arms. So Krishna is about 15 years old, and Mother Yashoda is about 90. Quite a feat for breast milk to stream out of your breast when you're 90 years old. She embraces Krishna and Balaram with the creepers of her loving arms. At this time, Mother Yashoda says, "Oh, friends of my sons, oh Sakas, now go to your own homes." Thus, sending off Krishna's friends, Mother Yashoda enters the house with her two sons. So this is the conclusion, rather brief rendition, of this Aparan Leela from 3:36 to 6 o'clock as Krishna returns from pasturing the cows and comes back to Nandagram and is received by the gopis along the road and also by his family members, mother and father, when he enters the palace of Nanda Bhavan. And his friends go all the way, although their houses are here and there along the way. The houses of his individual coward friends are side by side on the road. They stay with Krishna all the way to it. They don't want to leave Krishna. They go all the way. They forget, "Oh, there's my house. Oh, that's my house. Good." They walk right by their own houses. Their own mothers are standing there. My son. "Oh, bye." They stay with Krishna. They go all the way with Krishna. They go all the way to Mother Yashoda's house. Until they stay with Krishna to the last point. And their mother says, hey, where are you going? "Hey, I'm here. Your mother's here." "Oh, okay, great." And they walk right by their own houses, right by their own mothers and fathers, and just stick right by Krishna's side, all the way to Nandagram, all the way up to the top of the hill, all the way through the courtyard, practically into his bedroom. And then Mother Yashoda says, "Okay, boys, now I think it's, now you have to let go of Krishna, because I have to embrace him. Because if you've been embracing him all afternoon, now it's my turn. You've been embracing him all afternoon in Sakiras, but I'm his mother, and I have motherly love, parental love in Vatsalya Ras. I also want to embrace him. It's my turn. Now, jao. Sakas, jao. Gar, jao. Go to your house. Go to your house. Go to your own mother." "Oh, do we have to? Can we stay here tonight?" "No. Come on." So this is how the pastime ends. And I think we'll have a little short class today. Because we have long day. So this is Vajrasana, because tomorrow we'll start the sixth period, which is Bhava. Shashta Yam Sadhana, which is Sayan Kaliya Bhajan. This is chanting the holy name at the level of Bhava, the stage of Bhava. Nam Bhajan is the stage of Bhava. So by the Krishna's grace, we'll start that tomorrow. Is there any questions? Giriraj Dharana Ki Jai, Giriraj Anakut Utsava Ki Jai, Jaitiraj Bali Maharaj Ki Jai, Dai Gaur Premanandi.